Insanity in an Insane World. Good evening. I hope you guys are all doing well. Tonight's show's topic is about our society and how divided it is. And I want to talk about the divisions essentially on two lines. The first line is the political ideology line, meaning the left and the right. I feel that our society is becoming more and more divided along political ideology. It seems that the left and the right are at each other's throats. No matter what the left says, the right jumps down their back, and no matter what the right says, the left jumps down their back. You have talk radio that's just dedicated to bashing liberals, and the mainstream media, be it the news stations, with the exception of Fox, the newspapers, and Hollywood, and even academia, are extremely left-leaning and bash conservatives. Just to give you some examples, as everyone knows, this past week, Benjamin Netanyahu was reelected as prime minister, and in Israel, and basically all the polls and pundits thought that Netanyahu was going to lose. Needless to say, they were surprised with the results, and the media, pretty much all over the world, at least in the industrialized world, was like apoplectic, and they were incensed that Netanyahu won, saying everything that he was racist about what he said about the Arab vote, to the fact that Israel's jeopardizing their relationship with the United States, isolating itself from the rest of the world, and. Whereas the people on the right were quite happy that Netanyahu won. That's one issue. Another example is when the Occupy movement started a few years ago. The Occupy movement was championed by many people on the left, saying how they were exercising their rights to protest, how it was a good thing in our society, about how unjust our society was in terms of income inequality and opportunities, and the Occupy movement was a good thing. And the right basically felt that they were a bunch of there was a criminal element to them. They were parasites on society that expected handouts for nothing, and really painted them in a bad light. On the other side of the coin is the Tea Party, who the right adored and championed them as expressing their rights to protest against higher taxes, and tea actually stands for taxed enough already, and it's their right to protest and express their opinion and rally, which is, you know, very American. And the left called them a bunch of racist yahoos that were just protesting because they were racist because Obama was president, and that their case was basically a bunch of BS. Another issue which shows the divide on ideological political lines is abortion. If you're on the left and you're pro-choice, it's a woman's right to choose, and if you're pro-life, you're essentially keeping a woman a prisoner in her body and denying her reproductive rights, and the rhetoric goes on and on and on. If you are pro-life, you're right-leaning, then you're basically defending and protecting the lives of the unborn. And if you're pro-choice, you're a murderer. So basically, I feel the abortion issue really encapsulates the divide and how extreme things are, because there's no middle ground. Either you're a murderer or you're keeping a woman prison in her body. So that's the first area of discussion, is the political ideological lines, which we can go on for over and over and over again, and everyone's got their opinions about this, which is open to discussion. The second area where things are divided is racial lines. You know, the fact that Obama became president is certainly a huge milestone, in the fact that he's the first president who isn't white. And, you know, a lot of people feel that since he's been elected, that race relations are getting better. It's subject to debate. I've spoken with several people that live in various parts of the United States. They say race relations are really bad. And that's not just the black-white thing. That's across the board. I mean, I once spoke with a Chinese guy that lived in California who told me that the race relations between non-white groups is much worse than it is between whites and other groups. So race relations seem to be getting, you know, depending on how you look at it, in certain cases, you could say it's getting better because you have more minorities in positions of power in terms of business, government, media, entertainment, and so forth. But on the other hand, there's a lot more racial tension also. If you look at all the recent shootings of cops by cops of young black men, whether it was in Ferguson, Missouri, in New York, and some other incidences, the fallout from that has been quite huge. A lot of protests about police brutality. The cop from Ferguson, Missouri, was let go. He wasn't even tried. They didn't even bring him to trial, which had a lot of negative fallout on the other side. And they said that he should have been brought to trial, at least been brought to trial. And then there were reports that came out that he was a lot of things that were said about him were not true, and the evidence wasn't fully released. It's a bad situation. It's a very bad situation, and it's a very complex situation. It's very nuanced. It's not a cut and dry black and white situation at all. There's history. There's social implications. It's a mess, frankly speaking. To make things worse, you've got guys like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson that are race hustlers that look to incite and stir the pot whenever there's tensions between black and whites instead of solving the problems. When that kid Trayvon Martin was shot years ago, in my personal opinion, the guy that did the shooting, George Zimmerman, was no angel and wasn't perfectly innocent. It was, again, it wasn't a cut and dry situation. But after he was shot, the media and the people on the left side of the political spectrum were quick to point out that he was a quote-unquote white Hispanic. I find it interesting how these people never seem to raise a stink or care about all the black kids that are getting killed by other black kids in all the inner cities across the United States and elsewhere. The gang violence, the Bloods versus the Crips and all that doesn't count. That's not important. But when a white guy does something, then it's an issue. So we're going to discuss race issues from that perspective. And there's another subject that I want to discuss, which is reverse discrimination. Now, reverse discrimination is basically when white people are discriminated, it's because they're white, and I don't know if the term is tyranny of the majority, but basically, white people, specifically white men, are also being discriminated against today. Not on the street. I don't think white guys are worried about cops pulling them over like black guys are. I don't think white guys are worried about being judged for a certain way, the way black guys are. I don't think white guys are worried about a taxi cab driving by them and not picking them up at night because they're scared. No, I don't think that's the problem that white guys have. I think the problem that white guys, and whites, but more specifically white men have, is that when young white kids are trying to get into colleges, they're expected to be at a higher standard and there's quotas against them. When a white guy wants to get a government contract or work for a government agency, things are stacked against him. Try and get any kind of institutional job, things are stacked against you. There's movements like the Whiteness Project and whiteprivilege.com and other things that basically talk about how white people are privileged, and things like affirmative action are essentially discriminating against white people. When I hear diversity, it means not white men. So basically, these are the issues we want to talk about. We're going to go to the phone lines and take a call. Hello, you're on the air. Who's speaking, please?
Hi, my name is
Hello?
Steve. Yes, hi, I'm calling in. My name is
what,
Steve.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Steve.
Steve, hi, Steve. How are you? Welcome to Sanity.
I'm doing all right.
How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Good.
I'm doing well.
But what do you think about what I just said, and what are your thoughts?
Look, a number of topics you touched on are obviously extremely interesting to discuss. The one that I resonate with most, or which you just finished talking about, is the concept of reverse discrimination. I think in today's day and age, especially in North America, Canada, and the U.S., we've become sort of shackled with the idea of political correctness to such a degree that the most discriminated group is now the white male Christian, if you will. You brought up a few examples. I'll give you a personal one of mine. Somebody asked me before you go on,
I want to ask you a question. I assume you're a white male. I assume that you're white.
Yes, that's a good assumption.
Okay, so go on with your story.
Yes, I guess I should have said that. But anyway, this individual asked me what I thought of Black History Month. First of all, I had a few things to say. I thought that if there is going to be such a thing, it should probably be in January when Martin Luther King Day is, because we're already celebrating that and there's so much of a hoopla around that. And let's just say that it's a full day off of work, et cetera. That would make sense. But then we have a whole other month where we focus.
By the way, I think it was Chris Rock that said that if they would make Black History Month in the winter when no one could, he said it was like, the insinuation was that it was racist, that Black History Month was in the coldest month of the year. It just so happened that Martin Luther King was born then, but anyhow, go on.
Well, no, the funny thing is, it's in February and he's born in January, so.
Okay, but it's still cold. Anyhow, maybe he was trying to make a joke about it, but it is what it is.
Anyway.
Go on.
My point was, when this person asked me that, then they went on to say, well, don't you think that if blacks have a month, there should be a Jewish History Month? And then my simple answer was, not that there should be a Jewish month, that there should be no black month, Black History Month. I mean, what we're talking about is something that happened, 300 years ago, and we're still meant to discuss it at length and sort of have a collective guilt about something that...
Slavery, I think it was when was it, 1864 when slavery was abolished, or 1865? So it's not 300 years ago, it's about 150 years ago. But it's still,
no, but I'm saying it, but it was around. I'm not talking about only when it was abolished, I'm just saying it was going on quite a long time ago. You take something like the Holocaust, we're talking, 70 years ago?
Yeah, but in all fairness, there were still Jim Crow laws. It was really things really started to change for real in the mid-60s, in my opinion. Even though there wasn't slavery, there was still discrimination and segregation. It was pretty bad until the mid-60s when things started to turn.
Okay, but things were also terrible for the Chinese when they were here. They were enslaved.
Listen, the Chinese were treated like crap when the railroads were built. The Japanese were interred during the Second World War. I mean, Operation Wetback, discriminating against the Mexicans. Humanity is far from perfect.
Let me finish my point. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that there aren't enough months in the year, yet the only group that we possibly think about happens to be blacks. We take affirmative action, for example. I think that that's completely ridiculous.
But hold on a second.
I think at this point it's
Isn't there Hispanic Heritage Month as well?
No, I don't believe so. Not that I know of, and if there is,
there might be something like that. But, look, further to your point, if every single group has a victim, and then, you have Black History Month and Hispanic Heritage Month or Latin Grammys and a gay pride parade and I mean, all these other things, you're basically dividing yourselves along all kinds of lines. And further to your point, Black people, in my opinion, shouldn't be called African Americans. They're Americans like anyone else. White people shouldn't be called European Americans. Everyone's an American. And when you hyphenate Americans, it's already a dividing point.
Okay.
Go on.
I recommend this. Okay, if you want to just make it simple, why don't we have a White History Month? You know what really bothers me is that there are plenty of examples, particularly I think it's in California, where gay activists are having history books rewritten so as to emphasize some of the achievements of, say, gay people, while replacing greater achievements by whites merely because it's seen as being too white. I'm sorry, but that's completely absurd to me. You should be highlighted based on what merits being highlighted, not because of the color of your skin, the religion that you have, or your sexual orientation. I find that completely absurd. But political correctness today has led us to this brink that I find impossible to come back from.
Listen, I hear what you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree with you. It's a problem because, let's face it, before pick a point in time, I don't know exactly when, but for the majority of human history, certainly in the industrialized world, in the Western world, it was all dominated by white men, because essentially white men were essentially the only people living there, except for the odd minority and the slaves and so forth. It was essentially white people for the majority of the time up until God knows what point in the 20th century. So the entire history of the Western world was, in fact, written by white men, and because of the way society was at that point in time. I mean, it's not like every other society was much different. I mean, they were all male-dominated cultures, and women certainly weren't in the same positions that they are today. It's just the reality of human history. So I guess what people are trying to say and do is they're trying to show achievements for other people so that they feel included, so that they feel good about their accomplishments, that they feel that they can be part of society. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. When you look at the history of the United States, for example, all the presidents were white until Barack Obama. So, I mean...
Okay. You speak...
I mean, it's
that
the fact.
That brings me to my next point.
Go ahead.
Look at, when I was in college, frankly, the number of white students compared to the number of non-white students was virtually at this point equal. I'm not saying they're all black, but there's Asians, there's black people, there are Hispanics. There's a whole array of people. This notion
okay.
of affirmative action that exists in the U.S., the president is black. If you want to take the incident that happened in Ferguson, the chief of police was black. I mean, the president was black, and so was the Eric Holder was black. I mean, I don't understand
okay.
where the factor of racism was even a part of that. Okay, yes, it happened to be a white police officer that shot somebody black immediately, like you said earlier in the show. That's all that counts, right? Brilliant example you brought up was George Zimmerman. People did think that was racist, but George Zimmerman was Hispanic. So what is that? Hispanic on black is now that's racist? It doesn't even make sense to me.
Look,
it's completely absurd.
To comment on what you're saying, I hear you. I don't disagree with you. The thing that bothers me is that I feel that if a white guy does something against the minority, it's blown up and everyone makes a big deal out of it, and the media is all over it and everyone's outraged. But when a minority does something to a white person or another minority, no one really cares. That's the problem. However, to be fair, if you look at the situation, I mean, the situation that many black people, and way more than whites or Asians, it's a lot more dire. Now, the reasons for it are subject to debate, but, I mean, the average income level and the average upbringing of a white guy in the United States, for example, is a much better, gives these people much better prospects in life than black people. Now, you can make the argument that, you know, the out-of-wedlock birth rate in the black community is very high, the stress on education is very high, the family structure is much worse. And that's true. So at what point is personal responsibility an issue, and at what point is it society's fault? These are the issues that are being brought up upon now. Look, I hear what you're saying, and there's merit in it, but the other side would argue their points too, and they're going to be talking about this till the cows come home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah,
are you there?
I hear you. I mean, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, look, I'm white also, right? And when I see a lot of things that are said and done, it really bothers me because I there's no personal responsibility. It's white guilt, white privilege, all this stuff. And you know, I mean, you know, I don't think the cops are deliberately going out to hunt black people like they did with the KKK in the 1930s for sport because they're racist. I think I have a friend that's a cop, and he says they're not racist, but the majority of the people that are committing the crimes are who they are, and they're not going after them because of their skin color, they're going after them because they're the criminals. So, and you got a guy like Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton is going to come in and just make things worse and throw accusations and throw fireballs. So,
well,
in my opinion,
Jesse Jackson
it's a big problem.
Wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for racism.
Pardon?
Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton wouldn't have jobs if it wasn't for racism.
That's right. If everyone got along hunky dory, they'd be out of a job, no question. But that's really an unfortunate
reality. But tell
I
me
think
something.
That's
like, let's say that we wanted to, white people wanted to have the white entertainment television awards.
Right.
What would happen?
It wouldn't go over. You're right. It's a double standard and wouldn't go over well. It'd be racist.
And you'd also have plenty of white supremacy.
And then the argument would be, well, the reality of black people is completely different, and it's a different situation. Like, they have the NAACP. If there couldn't be an equivalent white group, it's true. You're correct.
Okay,
but
so my solution
I will tell
is not
you,
necessarily – I don't think that my solution is to have a white entertainment network. I think that my solution is similar to the idea of the month. There shouldn't be any. I think we're in a society today that's pluralistic enough, and there is enough diverse, and we're going in the right direction. There is a black president in the United States. There are women in positions of power. There are other minorities that are reaching levels that were prior thought impossible. We're moving in the right direction.
I just don't understand.
I
want to ask you a question. I think theoretically what you're saying is correct, and it sounds great or whatever, but how would you feel if you were living somewhere and all the elected officials were black or Hispanic or there were no elected officials that were white? How would you feel?
If I was in Africa, I wouldn't have much of a case, would I? I mean, there are cases.
No, I'm talking about here in North America, Canada, United States.
Well, I mean, I'm giving you a good example of a part of the world where they all are black and there's no white people complaining.
Pardon me?
You know, there's no white people complaining in Africa that they don't have proper representation, and there are definitely white people who live in some of those countries.
How many white people live in Africa, though? I mean...
What?
How many white people live in Africa?
It's negligible, but what I'm saying is it's always people that are complaining that are from these minority groups when they're getting a greater level of representation across the board. If you compare, say, the legislative body of today in any given state or at the federal level, to, say, 50 years ago, it's changed quite a bit. If you compare it to 100 years ago, it's changed entirely.
So we're going
in the right direction. I think at one point we have to stop
these measures.
Well, that's a whole other issue. But I'm just saying we need to stop with these things like affirmative action and other discriminatory measures that are essentially, in my mind, exclusively against whites.
I hear you, but the proponents of affirmative action will say that it's given people opportunities they wouldn't have ever had, and a lot of benefits have come out of it. I agree with you on it, but that's what the other side's going to say. Look.
I want to comment on this.
My thoughts on this issue are as follows. It's all good and well to want to have an equal and just society where it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is and your religion and so forth, and we're all going to get along. And it's very good and nice to advocate for that. But I think as a practical matter, we are different, and our views and values are different, and the way things have happened throughout history have dramatically altered the way that we see things. I mean, the way that a Chinese guy views the world and the world that he lives in, say, in North America, versus a black guy, versus a Jewish guy, versus a WASP, are completely different because of the way you've been brought up and your perspectives and history and so on and so forth. So,
right. I hear you.
But let me just finish my thought. Steve, just a sec. Let me just finish my thought. My point is that it's all good and well to want to have a utopian society where all walks of life get along and work together towards the same goal. But our cultures are different, our values are different, and so forth. And as a practical matter, how realistic is it? I'm not saying that necessarily one is better than the other, but if we keep along these lines where there's Black History Month and Hispanic Heritage Month and gay pride parades and the Muslim wants this and the Jews want that and this group wants this and so forth, where are we going? It's not going to end well if we're not all on the same page. Go ahead.
Right, if we're not all on the same page, but the only ones that can't get on the page are white people. That's what I'm trying to say here. I think that we all need to respect the fact that we all exist and that white people and males have a voice and don't need to be completely shut out in the moment that they speak. I don't think that the argument can be made anymore. Well, there is a reason for BET because all television is basically white. That's not true. It's completely false, actually.
I hear you. I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm playing the other side. When I hear what you're saying, I think that white people are discriminated against institutionally more than others are now. Having said that, I certainly don't think the white people are suffering. I mean, I think they're the most affluent group in North America. They certainly have access to better education and the means and so forth.
I don't think areas where white people live. I mean, just like there are areas in Atlanta where black people are living extraordinarily well, there are also areas.
There is no question about it, but I don't think that white people are basically shoved in the back of the bus yet and told that they can't buy a piece of property or rent something yet. I don't think it's gotten that
well,
bad, but
I don't know where it's going.
I
would give you an example, say, in L.A., of terrible neighborhoods. In Europe, there are areas where locals can't even go anymore, let alone the authorities.
Where what?
Where authorities can't even go anymore.
Are you saying these are white neighborhoods?
I'm saying there are countries like France where the authorities and local French people aren't even welcome anymore. So,
okay, but what does it have to do with white people
Los Angeles,
being discriminated against?
Compton, that I've heard that if you're a white individual walking, it's not safe at night to be a white person walking alone.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. Okay.
Newark,
it's a problem. I hear you. It's a problem, but I mean, listen, you're right. The society is far from perfect, and this is one of the reasons that I'm concerned about the fact that with all this diversity and hyphenated Americans or hyphenated whatever country you're from and multiculturalism, I think we're heading to a very dangerous place. It's scary.
I think that this victimhood thing is really bothersome because essentially if something were to happen in, say, New York, where a woman was walking at night and she happened to be robbed or held up or by, you know, something even worse by someone who was, say, black, the reasoning or the explanation afterward would be, well, that person had no other choice because they were raised on the streets because white people had repressed his family for so long and his people. It's this victim card that
everyone's a victim.
Yes.
I hear you. Listen, Steve, I got to tell you something. We're actually running out of time, and we didn't get a chance to talk about the divisions on political lines. So maybe we'll cover that in the next show, and you can call back and discuss that issue, because I got to wrap up my show because we went on for a long time about the racial division in society.
All right.
So.
I definitely will, and I have to say I really enjoyed chatting with you.
I appreciate it, Steve. Look forward to hearing from you next time. I'm going to let you go now, and I'm going to wrap up the show after I get off the phone with you. Thanks for calling. All right, so there you go. We had a caller who was quite passionate about the racial divisions in our society. As I said, we didn't get a chance to talk about the divisions on the political lines. I mean, this guy Ted Cruz just announced that he wants to run for president. The left went after him like they tried to beat him like a rented mule. They went after this guy with reckless abandon, and they think this guy is just the worst thing ever, and he's the biggest danger to the world. And on the other side, the left is pushing this woman, Elizabeth Warren, to run against Hillary, so she's not anointed as a Democratic nominee. And the right ain't exactly thrilled with her. They say she's way left, much further left than Hillary. And we didn't get a chance to talk about this, so maybe we'll talk about the political divisions next time. As far as the racial divisions, I mean, I spoke with Steve. There's so many issues, and to me, if society is going to work, everyone should be an American. It shouldn't matter what your background is, what your ethnicity is, what your skin color is, American or Canadian, all on the same page with the same values. Unfortunately, it doesn't play out that way in reality. We all hope that things go well. But, I mean, I don't want to hear about all these special interest groups, the socioeconomics, all these different victimization groups. It's true that everyone's comes from different backgrounds, but if you keep looking back, you'll never be able to go forward. And you got to go forward and deal with things. And, you know, bad things have happened. If they repeat themselves, you got to nip it in the butt. But you can't throw things and you can't throw something into someone's face that they had nothing to do with because their grandfather did something. Otherwise, we're going to have a big problem in our society. On that note, I'm going to leave you. I want to thank you for listening to Sanity in an Insane World. We'll speak to you next time. I wish you guys all a good night. Thanks for listening. And hang in there. We'll see you next time.